So Sophie Grant interviewing Angela De Castro. Can you tell me how you first got involved with No Fit State and what role did you play?
Right, I got first met Ali and David in 1987 when they were doing a tour with 200 show, and I was doing a tour with another group, and that's how we met. And we got on very well immediately, and Ali said to me, "You should come and direct us. We don't have a director. You should come and direct us. We are like this, that." We met all that summer in 87, meeting in different festivals. And she kept saying the same thing. I hardly spoke any English, but she said, "You have to direct us. It's you." And off I went to direct this group in Cardiff. And that was amazing. That's the first time I met them. And was a show called, I forgot the name now.
I Wish Washes Whiter?
Well, there was four. I directed four shows. This one.
Wish Washes?
Wish Washes Whiter. Then there is another one in a forest. Then there was another one that got...
Dodo Island?
Yeah, Dodo Island. I done that. And there was another one.
Wish Washes Whiter. Take a Chance?
Take a Chance. That was me. And there was another one I forgot now completely. And so I went to direct them. I arrived there, and there was these five guys, very funny guys. And that was very funny. Because I didn't speak much English, completely, and the show was on this forest, and I could say to these guys, directing these guys, saying, "But the forest is very dangerous and wet and dark." And they were very seriously looking at me, and blah, blah, blah. And then in the end, somebody said, "Did you mean forest?" I said, "No, that's what I meant." So that was my level of English.
It was a forest.
Mm. And I said, "Florist." The florist is very dangerous, very dark. Very wet. And you guys are doing this and that. And it was very funny because they were very seriously taking it. And then in the end, somebody said, "Only forest." So I directed this. That's how I met them. And in Cardiff, there was a very nice community at the time. And they never had any other training than the physical training, than the juggling, and they used to do the table sliding thing. And they have the Risk and Pink, and they have David and Ali. And that's how I started with them. And it was a very nice time for me and for them, because we done a few shows together in a row and develop a structure. They used to work with Ollie Craig to develop the story, and I would come to direct it, to stage it, to direct it. And there was a very good relationship among us. We all get on, basically. I don't have anything else to say than that we all get on very well, and there was a learning for both sides, and that was it, basically.
Where did they used to rehearse?
We rehearsed in different places. We rehearsed in church halls, near Splot or Adams Down or whatever they had a place. And then they had a tent, then we had some of the tent. But we had the halls, and I used to go and have it 3 weeks or 2 weeks to put the scenes together with them. And that was it. Basically, I have the anecdotes, you know, that we had during one of the shows. Which one? I don't know. The one that has a boat. I think it was the Dodo.
Ah, the
one that had the
I've seen a poster for that.
Do you know the one that had the what's called octopus? Which one was that?
The huge
inflatable octopus. I arrived there and they said, look, the show needs to have an inflatable octopus because somebody lent that to us and we had to use it. I said, but what are we going to do with the inflatable octopus? So there was an inflatable octopus and then was a Chinese pole. You had to have a Chinese pole, okay? And I couldn't find it, the place. We had asked all the scenes. And there was this one scene that I said, we're going to put the octopus on this scene, but let's just jump. And I remember one day that I said, well, it has to be today. You know, I can't not. It has to be today. You know, we've done everything else. We need to do. And I didn't have a clue. And they were full of the amazing things that they really trust me, you know. And I was there. I said, okay, line up. So I had that 5 people in front of me and me against the wall. And then I thought it myself, and now what? Line up. And now what? And they look at me, okay. I said, okay, present your arms. And the beautiful thing was they all did. They all put the arms forward. So that was our relationship. And then everything started after that. You know, so, okay, let's get some flags out of nothing. You know, but there was, what was amazing was there was a trust among us. They knew I would pull it off. And I knew that I could have not a clue what to do and it would be okay. You know, so there was that.
It wasn't the defective detective, was it? The hunter?
No, I don't do any detective.
You didn't do that.
No. I done the very pantomime child ones.
Right.
After me went into Alice, when they did Alice with Richie Smith.
Yeah.
So I was up to Alice. So I done 87, 88, 89, 90.
So that would be Dodo Island.
Dodo Island, Wish Washes What, Writer. There was one that Take a Chance. And there was one with a witch. There was the Dodo.
Yeah, it's Dodo Island.
There is the one that they all dress up as pixies.
Totally Wicked. No.
Which is the one they all dress up, I put all dress up in onesies.
That was one of
Take a Chance. Yeah, yeah.
That was the Monopoly game.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, put all dress up as pixies.
We still got one of those,
yeah, yeah.
Going in the exhibition.
That was me. I put Richie to sing a song that was horrible. No, Richie, no, Pete. So I done, they done a fair bit of stuff. So after that, that was the very beginning of my relationship with them. After that, they never more called me to work, to direct with them. They started going very big and started going into other directions. But I always, whenever Ali asked me to do anything, I always would do it. We become very close, Ali and I. Very, very close. And David did as well. Because I directed him on his other show, The Sprott Brothers. And we run. I started running workshops for whatever Ali asked me, for the Sprott circles or the community circles, whatever she asked, I would go and run these workshops. Then afterwards, I start sometimes using their facilities to run workshops in Cardiff, and then recently, which was about 4 years ago now, I direct a cabaret with the community circus, a Christmas cabaret.
Yeah.
I directed that, and I run the workshops, and there were some of the intern,
the trainees.
And I was involved on the very early stages of Noodles,
Oh, right.
In the very beginning, but you don't work out.
Mm.
And then with me, then.
Mm.
And then I went to Nepal with Ali.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Ali invited me. I go. And that's it. Mm. So now that, up to now, you know, that's it.
So you came over from Brazil, and your skill is in clowning, isn't it? Where did you learn?
Well, the thing is, I come from Brazil. I never meant to be here. I didn't come to England to stay here.
Mm.
I was passing by.
My.
Okay, I was doing, I've always been an actor since I was 12 years old.
Okay.
I was being an actor, doing all sort of acting and all sort of formation. My training was very diverse.
Mm.
Never went to a drama school, never done a university. I just went from one workshop to another and to one director to another and working. That's what I did. And I was very different. I didn't know what the difference was, what was odd. Was all very odd. And then I come to Europe for the first time in 1980 with a Brazilian play who tours all over the world for 4 years. And I saw a theater clown show in Germany. And I identified with that. I said, that's what I am, what's this? And come back to Brazil and start looking for it. And no one ever heard about it. No one knew what that was. They see at the clown stuff. That's not mime. That's not dance. That isn't a text as such. And so I opened my own company in Brazil, which after a while was very successful, looking for circus theater and the clowning in the acting. And then I come back to Europe again in 86 with another Brazilian play, doing another tour here in Europe. And on the way back, I decided to come to London to visit a friend of mine. It was nothing to do with theater, but she was a doctor. And off I went, came, and she said to me, oh, you know this theater clown thing you keep talking about? Here it is. There is a course that's going to start. Why don't you do it? Because it's not circus clown. It's theater clown. There is a distinct difference. And
who was the course?
That was Frankie Anderson at the City Lit School, which was just 2 days a week in the evenings. And there was King Tilbrook, Pee-wee, Ali Willibeck, and Ali Williams did a couple of days and something like that. So some of these people I'm still friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And I am friends with.
Where was that course again?
That was at the City Lit School in Covent Garden.
Right.
The City Lit.
And Ali was on that?
I think Ali was on that.
Right.
One, not back. Billy and Kim and Ali Willibeck, they were really in there. And so done this course, and I stayed to do it. That's how I stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't at all prepared. I had my own company there going well and, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing a lot of stuff in there. My career was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And but I had this passion, so I stayed to do this. So after I'd done that course, I'd done for 6 months. It was 3 months, then there was another 3 months, and then I stayed to do it, the 6 months. I was about to go back when somebody said, okay, before you go, you have to go, we have to give you a party, and the party is going to be in a clown's convention in Wales, in Rhyl-on-Wye. Off I went with these guys. And there was a lot of people there. It was very nice. And then I was going back to Brazil and I got a call from someone saying, we recommend you for an audition in Bristol. Go to Bristol to do this audition. And then off I went and was with Ben Mason to be part of Mama and Dada.
Ah.
And there was 10 women there doing amazing things, and me that couldn't do anything at all. No circus school whatsoever. And it was really funny, the whole thing, because they said, bring your instrument, bring loose clothes. Don't know, for who doesn't speak English, you say, bring loose clothes. What do you mean? Clothes, they're big. So, okay, I made a big short, so off I went with that big short. I have a horn that was like a beagle. I had that instrument. Okay. Arrived there, the guy said, oh, do you, can you do this now? I don't know, it was a day workshop, and then I arrived at this audition, yeah. 10 women, they were looking for one woman, 10 women there. Okay. And then it started with a day workshop with warm ups and physical skills, a bit of acrobatics and stuff. And then I had the shorts, né, that I made. And the elastic went, so... No, that wasn't that. No, I twist my ankle. So I start limping. After lunch, we start these improvisations, and my elastic went. So I was limping and holding my shorts at the same time. And then comes that moment when you have to go one by one in the front and do everything you know how to do. Do you know this exercise? Go in the front. You do everything you know, from, click your fingers to sing songs. At this point, I started hiding myself because the other 9 women, they were amazing. They play instruments. They done acrobatics, contortionism, magic, juggling, that. Amazing women. So I started hiding myself. And then they said, you... Who was there? There was Ben Mason and Gregoire Carrel. Yeah. And they said, okay, you have to go. Everybody went. Blah, blah, blah. So off I went, holding my instrument, holding my short, limping from one foot. And they said, okay, what can you do? And I said, nothing. I do nothing. And when I get nervous, I start laughing because I start thinking, this is an absurd. Now, I'm here just because I'm curious about this thing. I know nothing, and my English was bad as well, so it was all very complicated. And said, oh, can you do some acrobatics? I said, no, my foot. Can you do the trapeze? I said, oh, better not. And this and that. And then they said, can you play your instrument? And I said, hold on a second. You didn't say I had to play. You said, bring. I brought it. Here we go. And then they said, can you sing a song? I said, oh, that I can do. Because I can hold a song, a tune. Né? So I want to be clever. And I want to sing in English. So I sang Happy Birthday to You. And then to be better, I sang in different rhythms and these. And then not happy with that, I decided to sing in Portuguese. And then I decided to translate it. So that took forever. I spent half an hour kind of singing Happy Birthday to You and laughing laughing away in the middle of it because it took forever to find the words because in Portuguese it has a big meaning, the words, not like here. I don't understand. The land of Shakespeare. The most popular song is this boring lyrics. So anyway... And then that was it. I went back home and I was going to go to Brazil in 2 weeks' time. And then Bim called my friend because I just couldn't speak on the phone and offered the job. He said, offer if I would like to join them and they want me. And I said, but I don't speak any English. That's going to be very hard. I don't want to be a problem. I don't want to have a problem. And I don't want to give you one. Ah, no, we want you. You want you. You have to come. Mm. So that's how I stay here. Mm. Thanks to the happy bus. And then I started. That was 87. And I started with them. And I was always behind. You know, everything was a nightmare. And that's how I met Ali. I went to Nepal with Ali. And that was... Ali... I think Ali is... She'll never die. I think Ali is one of those persons that are blessed with an amazing compassion and vision for how the world should be.
Mm.
I think Nofit State owns a lot to her in terms of bringing the heart. He stand up with four guys and her, and to be strong among these guys and bring all the youth circles or the community circles, get the odd one that is different, that don't have a place, she always includes.
Mm.
And for me, this is circus.
Mm.
It's inclusive.
Mm.
It's to see the potential in everybody.
Mm.
And that's what Yali does.
She does. Yeah.
You know, so... the work she done in Nepal was amazing. Mm-hmm. I was there, I saw it. The work she does with anybody, any friends,
mm-hmm.
do know, any people that comes to her mm-hmm. and do know, getting she includes. There is this guy now from on the open Teddy. House.
Teddy.
I don't know his name, the guy from somewhere that was a refugee or an orphan.
Yeah.
And there is the guy that she put in, brings in, and is always away.
Mm.
So these people like Ali, should never die.
Mm.
They should have a magical spell that keep them up there. Because she's not greedy. She never wants the fame.
Mm.
You know, she just wants to have enough and to keep it doing.
Mm.
You know, the flying saucer, the silver thing, was her doing to get the funding for it.
Mm.
When she was doing the arts admin course that she uses to put the funding application for the circus as part of her study. So we're clever people.
Mm.
You know, I never met somebody that is so well-liked and loved and respected as Ali is. And she's always the same, never changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is something that needs to be said.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody said that in such words, but I think the success of Nofit State is thanks to Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with support and with many other people going and making her vision, believing on her and the way forward. And you see everything that is done with love, compassion, companionship.
A lot of nurture of people.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It comes back to you. So
yeah.
I think she is an amazing person and they're very lucky to have her.